Barking Spiders, the OG list, from Which Way's Up. Sorry, Mom, it's Rich's favorite story. He deserves this win. In case you haven't gathered yet, being a stepmom can be frustrating. Being a second wife can also be frustrating. Also, being a regular wife or a regular mom or a regular person or just trying to get through the day can be frustrating. And often I find that simply, diverting my frustrations can reduce them enough to be stuffed down until later. Okay, that doesn't sound healthy now that I see it on paper, but anyway. There's a common technique when dealing with panic attacks in which one names five things they see and five things they touch. The idea is that the brain redirects to a calmer place. I found that redirecting my brain during moments of frustration works the same way, and I do that via lists. It's like I reward my anxiety with my OCD. The lists represent moments of joy that have passed through my life, now documented, so that I might reach for them rather than leaping off a bridge. These are not lists about fields of flowers or the sounds of ocean waves. These are lists of moments that I made other people, mostly my husband, super uncomfortable, but not so uncomfortable that he didn't laugh about it eventually. I have lists titled, Jokes at My Husband's Expense, Places I Have Scared People and How, Words That Should Be in the Dictionary, and the original list, My Top 10 Best Farts Ever. And yes, I do whip out any of the above when I need to laugh, and I do share the list when I need my family to laugh with me. And it stinking works. Eventually, I thought I'd expound on the OG list and jot down the specifics of the top 10 best farts ever, mainly because the kids want to retire the conversation. I was afraid the tales would be forgotten. So without further ado, the Barking Spiders. My top 10 farts ever so far, age 48. I don't actually know why I thought my gift for gas was lift-worthy, but I often, no really, pull it up on my phone on occasions when I'm feeling especially cranky or sad or frustrated or misunderstood. So basically, every other day since iPhone Notes was invented. It always, always, always makes me laugh. Did I mention always? It always makes my husband laugh, eventually. It always makes our kids laugh, roll their eyes as they realize we were going to retell a minimum of two of these stories and typically closer to five or six. After said eye rolls, their eyes dart around, searching for an exit. Sure, I can go the adult route in these moments of frustration and talk through what I'm feeling, but that doesn't always work. It just doesn't. Sometimes the better route is to use your safety word or list and exit from the conversation to a safer place you know will eventually end in laughter. Should I be embarrassed by this? Maybe. Mortified? Probably. But mostly what I feel is proud. While this list is titled Top 10 Farts, it will likely never reach completion as I always hope for something list-worthy wherever I sense an opportunity looming. I hope I never cap it off. What would I have to look forward to if I found my anal opus? This catalog is in no particular order as to any witnesses may offer a higher rating to one event than someone else may to another. But yes, in this case, I will toot my own horn about my own toots, from my horn. At least the current top 8. 9 and 10 TBD, or rather SBD. IKEA, Potomac Mills, Virginia, December 2013. 2 weeks after I moved to the Ville, Rich and I made a road trip to IKEA. I discovered he'd never had the Swedish meatballs, and he discovered I didn't want to live with hand-me-down furniture, so off we went. We were typically late starters, and this day was no different. We arrived starving and made a beeline for the food court, and then we made a beeline to the Swedish meatballs. One helping, ha! We both ordered two, pretending our children were somewhere saving a table. Did I mention we were starving? We may have inhaled those meatballs quicker than medically recommended. Delicious! Lunch check! Let the shopping begin! If you've not been to IKEA, because you're a monster, here's how it works. You're taken through a maze of showrooms where you ooh and aah at the displays, perfectly laid out. Dust-free, no clutter, and you make notes of what pieces you want to buy when you leave the maze and enter the shopping area. Typically, by the time you get to the shopping, you have somewhere around $3,412 in ideas that you have to then pare down to a number that will fit into your trunk. You're handed a tape measure and tasked with guesstimating what size that trunk is and digging into your memory as to how much junk is currently living in it. Wait, did I take those bags to Goodwill? Right. We arrived at display number one. Beautiful setup with a white couch as centerpiece. We both sat down, happily full, happily on our first real couple's furniture trip. Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. Were those butterflies of bliss? Oh no, those were meatballs bouncing around in my stomach. Yep. Oof. Now, I wasn't too worried, although Rich and I had maybe passed the mark of farting in front of each other. And by past, I mean he entered the relationship at this mark. I was still pretending it was not something I did. I also knew the old cushion trick, letting your tush exhale into a cushion, slowly rising, then leaving the evidence deep in the foam until you're well out of sight of whoever sat down next. Gurgle, gurgle. I pushed my feet into the ground, leaned forward, and slowly started standing and exhaling. But my timing was off. I did not leave anything in the cushion. Instead, and you gotta believe me, it happened so quickly, nothing escaped my escape hole until it was exact height of Rich's nose, at which point a honking sound came out. I glanced over to see his eyes as wide as terrified saucers before I continued out of the display. He came out shaking, sweating, and possibly questioning his months-old invite to bring me to his home. There was silence and shuffling as other customers moved along while trying to land on a culprit as I sat calmly in the next display, wondering if anyone had noticed. Everybody had, in fact, noticed. It was the first time I'd heard Rich say to a room of strangers, "There's something wrong with her." It would not be the last. Goodwill, Richmond, Virginia, October 2014. Let me reiterate, threes are in no particular order, but they do mostly include Rich, because that's when I started keeping track. Maybe it was my coping mechanism. We were on our first ever getaway from real life weekend. We hadn't quite learned how to do nothing all day, so we were poking around Richmond, making stops on a whim. One whim was a string of thrift shops on Broad Street, as we both liked to hunt for fun finds. We went into the second or third shop. Rich went one way, I went the other. Somewhere between the entrance and the coat section, I slowed enough to let out a silent scream from my stern end, and meant to keep walking. Except I realized something terrible was following me in the form of a green, it had to be green, terrible odor. Holy hell, did I do that? Did I just destroy the t-shirt section? I diverted and parked myself two aisles over, aimlessly moving hangers in the jeans section. At this moment, Rich appeared next to me and asked what I was watching. "Oh," I said, "just wait, look over there in the t-shirts." We watched as a very innocent shopper started down the afflicted aisle, stopped suddenly, and crinked up her angelic nose to a look of complete horror. "What did you do?" Rich said, unsure of what he should be feeling. I'm not ashamed to say that as we watched at least two more people unknowingly brave the aisle. I'm also not ashamed to say that when we had to move on because a cloud had finally reached us. Westchester, Pennsylvania, winter, year unknown. At some point in your dating to marriage life, you have to introduce your intended to your best friend and possibly her spouse, whom you may not know well enough and yet to know if you like them. Thus, Rich and I made the trek to Westchester for a long weekend of uncomfortable questions and best friend ratings. These are important friends. These are the friends who will tell you yay or nay on potential suitors. My first stop for years when visiting was for cheesesteaks, and this time was no different, though we added scotch eggs as an appetizer. I've loved them forever, and I rarely see them on a menu. I'm 0% sure if anyone else liked them, but I'm relatively sure I'll never be able to order them again, mainly because it's been at least 5 years and Rich will still not let me order them. After eating, we all piled into the car, boys in the front, girls in the back, and as we hopped in the Route 3, the ghost of Scotch Eggs flew past my fanny with a howl and permeated the entirety of Amy and John's brand new Nissan. I immediately lost my ability to breathe because of both the spirit of the smell and the hysteria that was causing me to laugh so hard. The windows were thrown down on a 20-degree night in an effort to clear the tarnished air. I then watched Rich go through the "I don't know about this girl, but her friends are cool" stage of relationship grief. Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, Virginia. Date unknown, the first big outing with the kids. On my second outing to Busch Gardens, I had a second run-in with a Clydesdale. The first was during my sixth grade field trip when I opted to ignore the security fencing and get a close-up picture with my Kodak Fun Saver. What returned was a photo of two large brown nostrils as my model pulled his head up to snort on me. Now, a whole adulthood later, I found myself in an amusement park with children and no clarity on how to space meals versus rides. We hit a snack shack, eat whatever was worst for us, and then jump on something spinny or flippy. It seemed sensible. We then worked our way to the barns where the Clydesdales were kept, where as it was nearing dark, we couldn't actually see any horses. We could smell them, though. I'd wanted to get a present for our neighbor and led our group into the plush, horse-lined gift shop. It seemed overheated. Gurgle. Was it hot? Why was I sweating? Gurgle. As I picked up various horses, I realized the hot was a signal from my stomach that a missile was loading in the chamber, and oh man, was it about ready. I also realized since we were right next door to the barn, I'd score past on anyone noticing. And fire! Unfortunately, the barn full of manure did not hide the evidence. Rather than gracefully exiting, I called Rich over to give me his opinion on a gift. We've all done that, right? Invited a loved one into your vapor lock? It's a glorious bonus. He walked into the haze, his entire face cracked, and he scurried to the door while exclaiming, "You should be ashamed of yourself!" The store cleared instantly, clearing a path to the register where a very uncomfortable employee rang me up. I probably should have written a note to Busch Gardens applauding her, as it was clear she was following all the protocols gifted to her by her employers while holding her breath the entire time. Berwyn, PA, Christmas, 1997. I often think about this moment with a smile and a wish that my husband or my own child had been there to witness it. However, the next most important child in my life was at that time there, my nephew. The moment probably solidified our relationship going forward. He was only 3 at the time, and we had just finished a huge Christmas dinner involving lots of chicken and some kind of sauce. We were settled into the living room opening presents with my parents, visiting from North Carolina. I sat on the floor, relegated to the kids' zone, and gurgled. There was an assortment of candy floating around the room, including Raisinets. While not a fan, I did see an opportunity and grabbed a half a dozen or so. Gurgle. The moment came and I let it rip, bringing silence to the room. As all turned to stare at me, I slowly stood up, unveiling a neat little pile of Raisinets under my butt. To which my sweet little innocent nephew exclaimed, "Reindeer poop!" Yes, on Donner, on Dasher, on Vixen, on oh bloody shite. To this day, if you ring up my nephew and ask what my greatest fart ever was, he will immediately reply, "Raisinets!" June 9th, 2019. I actually have no idea what happened on this date, but it made the top 10. I really should go back through my calendar and see where I even was. It must have been good, but I must not have had time to document it very well. Sad. Mechanicsville, Virginia, Spring 2019. The gym. Why is it that working out makes some of us sweat profusely and look like we ran through a sprinkler, me, while others come out of it fresh as a dang daisy, my husband? Or some come out of the gym feeling invigorated and ready to take on the world, me, while others feel like they cannot get to the couch quick enough, my husband. And why is it that sometimes when I work out, it makes all air pockets in my entire body migrate to my keister? As a woman, I'm already at a workout disadvantage in relation to anything involving jumping. As a bubbly person, I also have to be aware of anything involving squeezing my storage in too aggressively. For several years, our family of four took a personal training class together at the local gym each week. It was an odd way to bond, but we were struggling to help our kids burn off some anger issues with methods that didn't involve lashing out at, well, me. So there we were, following the cruel instructions of a trainer right smack in the middle of all the other folks working out, coming in for yoga or leaving spin classes. It was awkward in the beginning, with a paranoia of looking ridiculous or like we were torturing our children. Eventually, we settled into the routine, though, and the nights were pretty much surpriseless, except on this day. We were beginning our workout, warming up with 15 minutes of core work when I got the first zing in my seat. Oh boy. A few more spasms came and went, but I'm not a quitter, especially in front of my kids, so I carried on. We lined up for a minute-long plank, and approximately 0 seconds later, I was like, nope, that's not going to hold itself in. Despite a few quick passes at Lamaze breathing, the bubbles lined up. Truly, I thought I could keep things sealed enough to force whatever left me to be silent. It was not silent. It was more like a machine gun. I remained in my plank, staring at the floor while I noticed the quieting of the room except for my husband's quick, "There's something wrong with you!" announcement. I'm 100% sure the head trainer has yet to make eye contact with me. Glen Allen, Virginia, Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker. When I moved to Virginia, I moved straight into a family of Star Wars nerds. A term I use gently. I'm a nerd in some ways as well. I just don't have the order of the trilogies memorized, nor do I know which one are sequels and which ones are prequels. But I do love Chewbacca and was sad when Han Solo died. He died, right? I have sat through many a galaxy-driven movie and have ever been sent ahead on opening nights to ensure that we got the best seats. There's no danger of sellout, mind you, as we live in the sticks. It has become the norm that if there's another movie coming out, we will see it, likely discuss the disappointment of it, and be back in another year for another round. I still wasn't a huge fan, although if I'm being honest with myself, I'm just not a huge fan of movies in general. What I am a huge fan of is movie theater popcorn. I will latch myself onto whatever movie trip I get just to get a big bag of fresh, warm, buttery popcorn. Which means just after the credits, when I reach the bottom of said bag, I'm often destined to sit for a few hours, wondering what exactly is going on in this DC universe or that Marvel universe or this Galactic universe or whatever universe I've committed myself to in the name of a good snack. But the point being, I almost did not make it past the first 10 minutes of The Rise of Skywalker, not because I wasn't trying, but because my husband stopped just short of demanding that I leave. The thing is, my love for popcorn sometimes has a noisy side effect. Please note, it typically does not bring a scent with it. As we tend to attend movies in which there are aliens and explosions, such outbursts are easy to hide when timed correctly. This incident was not timed correctly. I was so short that the Alderaan diplomatic envoy's retreat from the Imperial Star Destroyer would be a long drone of noise that I didn't think twice about letting the cat out of my pants bag. Therefore, I was shocked to hear the sound of Zero ships in movement at the time of my own launch and see the now common look of horror on Rich's face. Mind you, I'm sure it matched the looks of surprise of my own when reality hit. Oh dear, this is not a proper universe protocol. You need to take it right out of here, he whispered from my left. Great, I thought. I'm on his good hearing side. No chance for any more hidden launches. I again pledged my allegiance to the Resistance and sat in silence, except for the giggles that kept escaping, which covered up the continuing laughing farts. Mechanicsville, Virginia, April 2021. I'd been working on an interior renovation of our motorhome for about 2 months when I dropped this unintended surprise. I'm a professional messer-upper of important projects due to a lack of patience and ability to slow down. With the reno, I was very careful about only working for an hour or so at a time, measuring, cutting, sewing, gluing, hanging, all very slowly and intentionally, and never continuing if I felt that feeling of I should stop now creeping in. One area where this approach was super important was in making slip covers for the arm of the couch. It would involve lots of measuring and cutting and sewing as there was no pattern. I was also using a very fancy, very borrowed sewing machine, so I had to spend a week digging through its manual just to understand how to drive it. In summary, this part of the renovation took forever. When complete, I leerily walked out to the RV, a bit nervous that the slip covers would not fit or look terrible. I was beside myself with glee when I realized they actually looked professionally made. I was also bummed that my husband was in a meeting and could not come out to offer me accolades or pats on the back. I was also a little gassy. So, I farted and left, closing the door behind me. Side note. We do not keep the window open in the RV, nor do we run the fan unless we are actively using it. It's a little too easy to forget about it, which tends to cause puddles of forgetfulness. The next day, when I remembered my glee at the same time, I saw my husband wandering through the house. I grabbed him for a quick trip out to see my handiwork. Upon stepping into the RV, we both slowed slightly as we were met by, what? Something? What? We weren't using the toilet. The black water tank was empty, and we were fairly sure there were no dead animals hidden under the seats. What was that? As he oohed and aahed and also gagged, I remembered the vapor deposit I'd left the previous day. Oh, yes. I blocked the exit while explaining, oh, you know what that is? I farted yesterday when I was in here and then closed it up before I left. Oh my God, that was you? Yes, my love, that was me. And you closed it in here to stew overnight in Virginia weather? Yes, my love, that was me. Mind you, while this conversation was happening, he was also trying to leave the RV while I remained firmly planted in the doorway. I did let him leave eventually, though. I'm not a total monster. Final fart thoughts. Again, sorry, Mom. The irony in the sufferings of Rich is that on our first sleepover at my townhouse, after eating Mexican food for dinner, I was so incredibly paranoid that I might fart in my sleep, and that he would hear me fart in my sleep, that I'd be mortified that he'd heard me, that I would have to break up with him because I was so mortified that, well, I did my best to fake sleeping for hours. Our relationship was new enough that I couldn't really gauge whether or not he was asleep, so I just laid there, eyes closed, squeezing my lower cheeks with the full intention of remaining that way until morning. I could also grab a nap sometime during the day, right? Anything to keep the virtue of my bum intact. Way down the relationship road, when I was perhaps too comfortable with my flatulence, I told Rich that, gosh, weren't they cute times, Story? As I was telling him, I saw a smirk begin to grow across his face. What was that look? Why was he smiling? Finally, after a few moments of delighted silence, he pulled me close and whispered, "Well, you did eventually fall asleep, and I've known of your talents ever since."